Introducing Minor Wisdom Quintet.
One, two, a skiddle-diddle-do.
Minor Wisdom.
This week on the podcast, I've got Leslie Beezing. Leslie Beezing was another recommendation. And I actually recorded this again a while back, so Leslie's been patiently waiting to have her episode out there in the world, in the pod sphere, if you will. So Leslie, thanks for being so patient with me. But we recorded this a while ago, so I hope there's no time-sensitive stuff. Like, you know, if this message is not out there by the end of October, it will self-destruct. I don't think there is. But anyway, I enjoyed my time talking to Leslie. She's not somebody that I ever knew. And again, that's part of why I do this podcast, because I like to get to know people that I never knew before. So thanks, Leslie, for coming on and trusting me with your words and your story and such. And so I hope you guys enjoy it. This week, I opened my first show at the John Cooper School, and I opened Grease. We had to put a PG-13 rating. Apparently, Grease is one of the dirtiest PG movies ever made, according to like a bunch of different research and stuff like that. So the musical is no better. And what's funny about the show Grease is when I took the job at Dulles back in 2013, I was told you can do any show, practically any show. Not every, no, I couldn't do it. Turns out I couldn't do any show because we bought the right to Heathers and got approved, and then, parents. Anyway, I digress, but I was told we could not do Grease. That was the only show that was off the table as far as don't even bother presenting that or putting that in front of the principal the year prior to say, hey, we're thinking about these shows, but we could do Heathers. Well, so I thought. Anyway, that year, by the way, we bought the right to Heathers, and I was with Melanie Burke at the time, and we were super excited about it. The kids were super excited about it. And then we had some religious parents of a specific religion tell us, you're not doing that. And so we're like, okay, we won't. And fine, whatever. There was some back and forth. There was more details than that. There were more details than that. So we ended up doing Zombie Prom. So if you know anything about Heathers, you know there is there's a story of teen suicide. If you know the story of Zombie Prom, it's about an attempt of teen suicide. It actually, I don't know if you would call Zombie Prom a successful teen suicide or not, because he does come back in the form of a zombie that doesn't eat brains. He just likes to dance and sing and is in love with a regular person. I don't know what you would call them in this case, but a non-zombie, a nombie. Anyway, so that's not a story I was going to, that I was planning on sharing, but anyway, my brain does crazy things. So I am opening Grease this week. I'm also having the time of my life directing the show Elf, which opens up in the middle of December. I don't direct very much. I don't have that background. And I've only ever really, by myself, directed a handful of musicals. Not a lot of musicals. I did Godspell all by myself. You could say I sort of did How to Succeed in Business by myself. Had a little bit of help with that. But I'm doing Elf, and it's technically not by myself. It is with the artistic director of the theater company, but he is in and out with his own personal things that are happening. So I'm doing a lot of it, and I am just having so much fun, so much fun. And I don't like it because I can't add directing to my plate. I don't know if I'm any good. That's not for me to decide, but I'm enjoying it. And so they tell you if you find a job you enjoy, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, I am really enjoying directing this musical. And I think for me, it has to be the right musical. I can't be one of these directors that just is directing every show just because they have to, whatever. So anyway, if you're in the Houston Woodlands area, come see Elf in December. So the other thing I'm doing this month is Movember. So I'm not doing the grow a beard or shave clean and then grow a beard thing. I am doing, that's No Shave November is what that's called. I'm doing Movember. So I have a mustache right now, as my wife just called it, a large caterpillar with two small caterpillars on my face as well. She's referring to my eyebrows, which used to be an eyebrow. And thank you to some people that told me to pluck it way back in the day. But anyway, I am doing Movember, and so I'm going to put the link in my in the description for this podcast and every week, every episode this month. And I would appreciate a donation. I'm not asking for much. I'm trying to do a total of $250 total. I've already got $50. Whoop whoop. That's like a fifth, I think, of the way there. So I'm also trying to do 60 miles in the month. So run or walk or whatever. I think right now I'm at 6 run, 4 walk, maybe 6 and 6. I don't remember now, but I can look that up. But I am doing 60 miles in a month. As Jay Thomas told me, bro, that's like 2 miles a day. And thanks, Jay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think 30 to carry on. Yeah, 2 miles a day. So it is 2 miles a day. Also, those of you that don't know, I hope I'm not breaking any confidi, if you will. But Mr. Jay Thomas, a frequent guest on this podcast, or at least used to be, there's no reason not to be, but anymore, but he changed jobs. And he and I are colleagues now. He's working at the John Cooper School with me in the theater department. And, it's kind of awesome since we're friends. And we're not friends with benefits yet. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But so it's not awkward. But he is working with me at the John Cooper School. Go Dragons. And it's so fun. Like, guys, oh, man, I can't talk about that job because it's dream job and will make lots of theater people really upset. But anyway, so I won't discuss it, but I'm super excited about Texas Thespians coming up. It is very, very soon, right around the corner. Again, I've got nothing to do. As they say in Pippin, I've got magic to do. So I have nothing to do. So I will be hopefully interviewing some people for the podcast. Again, I mentioned this last week. If I ask you to come up to my room, it's because I want to put a microphone in your face. Nothing else, I promise, and we will chit-chat about you. And I'm super excited about that. So I hope to see a lot of people. I will be sporting the Minor Wisdom colors, which are lots of different colors, and super excited about just kind of seeing theater teachers again. Also, if you, again, are interested in doing a TTEC, Texas Thespian Educator Conference workshop, please let me know, because we want you. I'm pointing at the mic right now with a red, white, and blue hat on, a 10-gallon hat. I think it's 10-gallon. No, it's not a 10-gallon. It's whatever. You know what I'm talking about. A corn stove pipe. Yeah. Pointing at the mic right now. We want you. So I've ranted, and not ranted. Actually, this week I didn't rant at all. I just wanted to talk. Just wanted to chit-chat. Again, all my blessings and from the deepest part of my heart goes out to the Dragoos. They've had a rough week. Last I checked, things are on the up and up as far as the medical insurance issues that Annie posted about and Billy posted about. And, you know, just keep them in your thoughts. Keep Annie in your thoughts. They are clearly legends. They are clearly some of the hardest working theater educators that this state has ever had. And I just feel for them and hope all is well and everything gets ironed out. And Annie is in full health in a short amount of time. So thoughts are with you guys. On that note, please enjoy this week's podcast. Leave a review if you'd like, preferably positive, and enjoy my interview, my chat, my speaking with Leslie Beezing.
Well, I probably started in theater long before I knew it was theater. I was the kind of kid that could go in the backyard and play by myself for hours before dinner was called and just pretend and have fun. And sometimes the animals got involved. I did learn I must have learned somewhere along the way that it was connected to a thing called theater and drama. And so I was about to enter junior high. I'm from Austin originally, and, you know, now in Gonzales now for a long time. But they had theater at the junior high. And I had a friend that was older than me. And she's like, don't take theater because I don't like the teacher. So foolishly, I listened to this friend and I didn't get into theater class. I happened to get into his speech class, though. And at the end of the year, he came to me and he handed me a letter. And he said, in the letter, I still have this letter. I have a scrapbook of many things, how I got started and what started my journey. And it said basically that not everyone can get into eighth grade theater arts. It's an invitation only and only give out to a few students. And you are one of those students. Now, mind you, I was in speech. I wasn't even in theater. And I was so excited. I went out and did two plays that summer in the community of Austin, Hyde Park Theater. And the first one actually was a kids kind of talent, like kids club, it was called, I believe. And we wrote our own thing. And I did this pantomime and set it to police music and performed it. And they were so impressed. They said, okay, now you need to do this show with these other adults in this kid show. So I was cast in another show right from that. And all before I even got into a theater class. So I'd been training in my backyard on the sly. Kind of ninja-like like that. But I got into it, and the teacher was Mr. Jerry Miller, who since passed away. And he really started my love of theater that never went away. I went into high school at Reagan and did theater there. We did not have any success in one act play, oddly enough. I loved it, though. I mean, I got one little award, I think. But by my senior year, I was really kind of done with the high school scene. I was doing a teen life company out of Planned Parenthood. They would go around and do a bunch of high schools from area high schools in Austin would go around to churches and schools. And we even went to the Big Pal National Convention and performed scenes that the kids that we performed in front of could ask our characters questions about our decision making, whether it's sexual decision making or whatever. We even did Austin Rape Crisis asked our company to do a date rape video and produce that with them. And so we had done that too. But I remember once going to, we were in New Orleans, which, wow, that was a big, when I went first in ninth grade with my parents and I thought, oh, this is crazy. I never knew this place by Teen Life Company. I was like, this place is great. Wow, guys, because we didn't do anything bad. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, I'm in New Orleans. At this big conference, well, we also did one about suicide, and my character had believed that you were told it's all your fault. You should have stopped our common friend who had committed suicide. And now, Leslie Beezing did not believe that. But let me tell you something. When you face all of your peers in a national convention of PAL convention, they're attacking you. You want to cave. I tell you, you want to cave. No, guys, really, I believe you. I didn't. I want you to know that. My director is very proud of me, but I didn't. I stood my character's ground and we did it. And, by then I'd already started doing film. And my parents were like, you have straight A's. You can go out and do. So I'd go work all night on a film in Austin. Like there'd be Austin's film scene was alive. And I was aggressive enough that I became really good friends with an extras casting director. Because I get out the newspaper and say, hey, they're having extras, Mom, let's go. Or I finally had our driver's license, like, let's go. And I met this wonderful woman and she started, saying, hey, come on down. I said, let me intern for you so I can learn a lot. So I started working in the film business a little bit, and learning that and taking classes and doing Teen Life Company. So I was in for theater for life. I was doing everything I could. And I went to college, first at East Texas State, which is now Texas A&M Commerce, and went up there for a while. Then I came back to Austin and finished out at St. Ed's with a theater degree and with fine arts, with an acting focus. And I loved it. It was great. I was like, okay, here I am. And I went into waiting tables because what else do you do trying to work, And I was like, what am I doing? But it was fine. I was working on some films. And then oddly enough, in a movie, my biggest role I ever had in film, it was called The Whole Wide World. And I played Renee Zellweger's character's roommate. So I will tell you, the movie's basically Renee Zellweger's character and Vincent DeFornio. So it's those two. But the fact I had five good scenes and close-ups, I was happy. But I was also looking to the point that, you know, you're traveling all the time. I'm waiting tables in between. I had been married recently. And I was like, you know, I'm interested in having kids and I want to be around to harass them. I like harassing kids. That is fun. And at the same time as working on Hawaii World, I'd gone back to school to learn Spanish. My ex-in-laws had... or they weren't excellent laws at the time, but they only spoke Spanish. I was like, I want to talk to these people. Like, I want to have this conversation. And I went into this class and there was this 60-something-year-old, I'll say this white lady that taught the class. And she had the energy of a good friend of mine, Larry Wisdom, like a 20-year-old, just up there having a blast. And I thought, oh, wow, that's great. That looks like fun. I wonder what I could do. Theater. So I went to the, you know, aggressive self, you know, pursuing that job kind of mentality still. And I was like, I went to the Region 13 and found out at the first meeting that there was a job opening in Gonzales. And the girl, her mother was there, and actually it was her mother who was leaving her theater position there at the junior high. She's like, they need people. I'm like, I was in a car the next day. She said, it's only 30 minutes away. Okay. I stopped in Lockhart and I called the school. I'm like, am I lost? I was told it was 30 minutes away. I had another half hour to go. So I got to Gonzales and I was blessed with a job and went through alternative certification and have been there now. This is my 26th year teaching there. And I started just in junior high. And then I got a lot of energy and I was clearly ready for high school. And so I, when they took a one grade level off the junior high campus, I said, I want high school. And I'm wearing these kids out. So I was trying to do these major big productions with these junior high kids. And I was like, okay, I need older kids to harass. And let me tell you, it was the best thing I ever did. There was so much about film that was disappointing. Like, I loved the work, but the work took about, you know, a fraction of the job itself of constantly networking, constantly getting out there, auditioning, all of that stuff, and being without a job and having to, you know, wait tables until you got to go to the set. It reminds me, one time I was waiting tables and they called from Whole Wide World and they said, we actually need you for a scene. We're sending a car to pick you up. And I'm at work and my boss was like, okay, you gotta go. See ya. So I jumped in the car to go finish the scene or something. I don't know. It was great. But I have loved it in Gonzales. And we've done pretty well. Last year we had huge success in theatrical design. We took state champion and we had a silver medalist last year as well. And then a few years before, we got fifth place in state in set design. And then in one act, we've had three region appearances. And I'm real proud of that because it's really hard. And I love it. Film, we've done pretty good. I was thinking film was going to be my thing, but I knew the film stuff and the story stuff. But, you know, a lot of the tech is challenging. But we've done fairly well. We made it to semifinals once. And so it's been a lot of fun seeing kids grow. And I think my favorite thing in the whole world is when a kid says, oh, do we have to leave? Can we just stay and be longer? Or they get this moment where they're like, oh, they achieve something they've been working so hard, or even better. I have a class right now where I have these sweet babies coming in from life skills. And one of them, mind you, is nonverbal. And one has left. The other one has verbal issues. They get up there, but to see without me ever saying anything, and this is what I love about theater. It creates and generates such amazing empathy and love for the other human being by the nature of the art. But the kids, they all cheer extra loud when my nonverbal does something. And you see his face light up. You see their faces light up because they knew they changed a moment in that kid's life and are just, they had something to do with that too. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And I think theater, and everybody I know that probably is listening to this believes this, that theater needs, I think, to be something more of required, because it teaches you to step in someone else's shoes and look and live their life and accept them from whatever background, belief, or anything you have, and find that level of empathy and understanding. But I've enjoyed every bit of it for that part, and all the things that we do with the other campuses and stuff to help those campuses, whether we're doing, like this morning, Stranger Danger skits and throwing in some frantic assembly in there to make it even more fun. It's been a great journey, and I've loved it.
Yeah. Well, that was, man, that could have been the episode right there, but I've got to ask you questions. That was
okay. I mean, okay.
That was good. That, you know, what a great, I love the turn you made there with the life skills reference and talking about that and the impact and everything. I was a part of a theater company when I was, you know, probably about 15 years ago, I guess, but that had able-bodied and handicapped, disabled-bodied students. And it's right. You're right. It's just that there's a certain feeling, even though you're supposed to be, everybody's supposed to be on, quote, the same playing level, they're not, you know, it's just, you're just not. And so when there's an achievement from one person, an achievement from another, knowing the background and how much more of a struggle it was for them to kind of get to the same spot you are at, completely different, you know, it just changes your world. So how long have you had a life skills class?
Well, it's just, well, they're actually in with a,
it's a mixed,
regular class, right? It's mixed, right? Every now and then this year, I just have more, and there is an aide that comes in with them, and she and I just love it. And we figure out what they can do, especially my nonverbal, because he has some hard time walking to his braces and his, but he's, oh my God, I love him so much. He's just a delight. And so, you know, like the other day I was like, oh my gosh, we're doing gibberish improv. How perfect for him that even though he can't make sound, he's physically communicating all the time. And so I have one of my senior guys who's new to it. He's also playing Kaniki right now for us in Greece. And he was translating, giving this kid voice, you know, and it was just a great and hearing that, you know. And then I have actors that I've had since they were 10 years old. Sometimes I do a community, not 10 years old, 7 years old, excuse me, community theater with them. And they come through my junior high program, which I still do junior high with the high school. And you see these kids that have grown from when they first found their love of theater, and they're this brilliant people on stage. And in a way, they're quiet, not so big when they get on stage. So it's a whole different kind of growth, but incredible actors that you just go, wow, I'm so glad I get to see that and see that in you and go from this to this.
Yeah, that's cool. One more little thing about life skills. When you first started with life skills, did you realize how much you still needed to learn when that kind of opportunity came along and you realized, oh my gosh, there's a whole different world of kind of reaction and all this, you know, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I didn't really stress about it because, you know, I was like, okay, we're going to do this.
But it was a little eye-opening for you too.
Yeah, I know. And he's not the first one, because I've had other students before that, again, different abilities, like they were on the spectrum or something.
Sure.
And to see, I think just what emboldens my heart is just when I see those other kids kind of come in and give that extra support. They never said anything to them about it. And then suddenly they're giving extra loud verbal support to these kids and something. And that's just...
Yeah.
Warms my heart.
Are you the only director at Gonzales? or Ingersoll?
I am blessed with a lot of friends that come in. I have a co-director who takes on a tech position who was my student once. Now she's a speech therapist for the school. And then I have a dear friend who's a choreographer. She used to be a professional choreographer, but she volunteers for the school. And then I kidnapped my band buddies in to help with music, you know, and some retirees, you know. Nobody is, you know, I'll ask, and if they can, great, but their personal life and that stuff comes first. But it's great that they always want to come back and share the journey with me. And like I said, I can't do it sometimes without, especially in the musicals. Now, one act is just me and my tech director.
Right.
But
and you, great. You see a lot of kids. I mean, you mentioned 7 years old, but just within your school, are you seeing a lot of 11 to 18? Like, I mean, do you have a lot of those kids for 6-7 years?
Oh yeah.
That's crazy.
I have, when I had sixth grade still at junior high, I had kids for 7 years, some of them. And so, it's a totally different bond and it's great. And that's why, like, when I needed, a 1950s jukebox, I was like, let me call somebody I knew, and then called an alum and they had it and it was great. You get really attached to those kids and a lot of them have become friends, serious friends. You know, I've bought horses from some of my friends, or they're working with me now, or, you know, or sometimes we've gone back and done shows together.
Right. That's cool.
So it's been fun.
So you mentioned you're doing Grease. I'm doing Grease now too. So,
oh my gosh,
yeah.
Is it not so fun?
It is fun. It's also, there's so much to Grease that you don't realize. I mean, this is the heaviest prop show I think I've ever done. There's so many props.
And then there's so much expectation.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You like, okay, you've got, you know, this, this is the way it's done over here and people love it.
Yeah.
We were blessed. We're actually tomorrow going to, we're renting from another theater in Brownwood Lyric Theater, and we're renting, their Grease Lightning.
Their car.
Yes. But here's the thing that we've been trying to work out since July. Not with them. They've been great. They're awesome. Can't wait to pick it up. We're really excited by it. But I have a 1940s theater. That when I first got there, there was literally a tin can above it and a chicken, a chicken wire little, I guess, cage in the back where they had regular wall dimmer switches for the lights that worked the first year I was there. And then they remodeled, and then they needed help with lighting. So we raised money, got more in there, but it was so funny that, and now, so being 1940s, it doesn't have a loading dock door. So
good luck.
We're trying to think how we're getting this car into the theater, which we have figured out.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun.
Yeah. we're doing a golf cart. We have, you know, I don't know. I don't want to put assumptions on you, but I'm assuming you aren't a huge fan of the show Pimp My Ride that used to be on MTV. So that's kind of what we did to this golf cart is.
Oh, that's amazing. You know what? My band director wanted to do that. And I was like, wait a minute, how are we going to get that in the theater? Then wait a minute. I'm talking about a real car. How am I going to get that in the theater?
Yeah, you've outdone yourself. Yeah, no, Grease is a lot
that's
of fun.
Amazing.
And you mentioned the jukebox thing. It's very two-dimensional, but we're building a jukebox that's being painted. I mean, the jukebox itself is 3D and much larger than a normal jukebox, but the kids are painting it, and it's, you know, rather two-dimensional, but it's really cool. It's fun. It's, you know.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I did that once for my daughter. I built one for, she was a cheerleader, and she did so many props, like volcanoes for pep rallies and things like that. And once was a jukebox, and we put names of songs. Did y'all think about names of songs that kind of went with the pep rally theme?
Yeah, we're gonna do some of those details too. Not that I don't know if anybody's gonna be able to see it, but you know, it's for,
you'll know it's
yeah, for me, what I like to do, and this is a little professional development here. And I've done this in the past for shows like this. I haven't done it for every show, but for Grease especially, I'm having one of my tech classes research and draw out and design and then build set dressing. And so, you know, for the diner, I've got a kid making a milkshake sign. And for the basement, I've got a kid making a small TV, you know, like little things like that. And
awesome.
they have to draft it out, and they have to draw it, and then
perfect.
they get to make it. But I give them, I mean, because they're beginners, I give them like 6 weeks to create a prop, you know, but But it's fun. It's a way that they get invested when they come see the show. They can say,
I made that.
I made that. That's all mine.
And it prepares them for theatrical design.
I hope so. that's the goal. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you know you have an IMDb page?
Yes.
Okay, so it says that you're known for Whole Wide World, obviously.
Yes.
Do you think now you're known for something more? Do you think, like, if IMDb was more of a life page, not a movie, film, TV page, what would you say Leslie Beasing is known for?
I would have to say, I guess, harassing kids to love and appreciate theater.
Yeah.
That would be it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping that one thing that I've had great mentors like Mike Doggett in there, and the thing they've taught me is that anybody, whether it's colleagues outside our district is very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We host a big clinic every year with Larry and Sue Wisdom, and we've had great judges come in for them. We've had David Stevens and Kelly Russell once and Deb Shaw, and they've been great to come in for us. But I would hope that they also say that when they came to our theater, they felt loved, welcomed, nurtured, and helped. And they felt like this was a place they wanted to come home to and visit every year and be a part of. We like right now, even Greece, we sometimes open up our shows to say, hey, anybody in high school can come audition. And like right now we have a girl from San Marcos. We have a girl from Shiner involved in the show. In the past, we used to have one from Hallettsville. You know, they've come in. We go sometimes from the lower grades just to, you know, open the experience up.
Right.
Because not all places have that active community theater, or their school may not be doing a fall show. They just focus on one act play. And it just gives them more opportunity to play. And then the kids love, oh, my gosh, they love meeting kids from other schools and getting to know them, especially when we go to clinics and contests. We're like the friendly committee coming down there and going, hey, everybody, how are you? That's great fun for the kids.
The friendly committee. I like that. That's good. you mentioned that your space is, my wife would kill me if she heard me saying your, but you mentioned that your space is 1940. So
yes,
is it like in that I don't know how they preserve
it. Historical, like there's a historical plaque on it. No, thankfully they've updated and given us AC. When I first got there was no AC.
It's the little things.
You know, it holds 642 seats. And, you know, and when it holds that many people, it gets really hot.
Yeah.
And so
what did you do? What did you do? Like practically how did you keep it comfortable even during the day when you're teaching?
Oh, God. Well, we don't. Thankfully, I had
a classroom. Yeah.
Somewhere else. Now that I'm behind the theater, and there's times it would just come out on the stage and use it. But the first 2 years it was like that. They would open the side doors, like the emergency exits, to try to get airflow in there. We'd have very brief, you know, that is one way to have brief faculty meetings or events. You know, it's like, you know what? AC breaks,
it's
they don't last long. They're short.
That's good.
To the point.
Is that what you're saying to do? Is somebody go outside and pull the switch on the air conditioning?
Then they'll solve it by Zoom meetings.
So this is kind of a funny story. I'll try to be brief because this is about you. But years ago, we had a professional development, and this was back when this isn't a light subject, this part of it, but there were a lot of inappropriate relationships, teacher student kind of thing. And so in our district, so this guy comes out to do PD it was a scare tactic, you know, show us all these different horrible situations between teachers and students and stuff. And probably a 2-hour PD, but about an hour in, the fire alarm went off. And so we all exit the theater. And it was a false alarm. And we come back in, we sit back down, we get settled. 5 minutes later, alarm goes off again. And I'm pretty sure it was like some sort of malfunction circuit, something, whatever. But the guy ended up leaving. He just left. He was like, he thought somebody was pulling the fire alarm so that they could get out of PD.
No.
And it was at my school. And so I was the tech person for that event. And he just handed me the microphone and said, I got to go. And so all that to say, you know, turn off the air conditioning, I guess, for PD. There are ways to get out of PD, I guess, but, you know, but moving on. So do you show your students your movie?
I do. I usually try to show it when I'm not there because I get, you know, it's been a long time.
They're going to watch it regardless.
Whether you show it or not. Yeah. You know, it's actually a true story. And so that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
And, but I show it just because it's a novelty. Yeah. And that's all, just a novelty. Then to talk about the film experience, the experience of working on that and that medium of telling stories and stuff like that. And of course, it's an interesting thing. Things have changed since I stopped being active about when I found I was pregnant with my daughter. It's probably been the last time I had an audition. My agents are still great. You know, I can call them for anything. And I go, if something's going through town in Gonzales and I'm not too sure about it, I call them because they have a 411 on everything film happening in Central Texas. And they're kind to tell me what's what and who's legit, who's not. So I can send my kids or not send my kids.
Right.
To go do stuff. And then every now and then, you know, I feel comfortable. Like we had The Sun come through with Pierce Brosnan and film in Gonzales, which was great. And I was like, you know what, let me go talk to him. And they were generous enough, which is, and let me say this, you don't find this on every set. Sometimes they'll have an open set situation and sometimes it's closed. It depends on who you're working with, what the situation is. So I went down there and I talked to them and they were kind enough. And this was really cool. Not only I brought every class down during their period by bus, dropped off at the set. We went to a section. They only allowed my kids in. And then each time they sent somebody over to talk to them about what they were doing. And so they can watch the filming and then talk about their craft and stuff like that. And it was just a really neat experience. I was really glad we got to share that with them.
Because
that doesn't always happen. But I was glad I felt comfortable enough to go, hey.
Yeah, that's that's kind of neat. So did you teach film when you first started teaching to students?
No, actually. Okay, so back to the guy that kind of set me on my journey, Jerry Miller. He when I went back, curious enough, when I was doing alternative certification, I went to him. He was still at Dobie Junior High and I went to him and I said, I need some hours. And he was like, oh, I know you, wait a minute. And he's like, well, you know, as a teacher, you forget and we all grow up. And he went and he pulled out my picture. And for one of the shows I did in junior high, he goes, I said, yes. And he actually was doing, and I think he is the one that pioneered this idea. He did the announcements like a newscast. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring that to Gonzales. He's like, you do it. And I know since it's been a trend. So we started Gonzales Daily News. So I started tackling it. It's terrible. The whole old editing. The only way I could edit was two tracking VCRs to try to get something. It was terrible. But we did it. We had wonder what the weather was like with Wanda and the Gonzales Daily. They had a youth center there. What's happening there. Plus the announcements. Plus, we have a big festival here in Gonzales called Come and Take It. And so I'd go take shots of the kids at the junior high at the festival, this parade and all the events and put that out there for them to see. And it was great. We did it for about 6 years and then we kind of stopped it. And because I was also at high school and then UIL Film came along and when my friend took over the audiovisual stuff and she and I was like, I said, let's do this. So we've been playing with UIF film and doing that. And it's been helpful. I haven't felt as lost, especially in the storytelling end and script writing and all of that. And how the set works and what you're doing and all of that. And I used to actually do even wedding videography. So I know a lot about editing. When software got better, past the tracking VCRs, let me say this now.
Yeah.
Hopefully those went somewhere to be recycled, but they're far from me now.
I've got one.
There you go.
So has your style kind of changed with that, with teaching film? Not necessarily maybe the cinematography element, but even writing film, has it changed with technology, with you know, the now you can film on your phone and now, you know, edit on your phone and do all that kind of stuff.
Yes, and you can do all that stuff. And I don't know if I'm gifted with all of that. My kids use and they go to the audiovisual teacher, and we just talked about what they've been using. And I used to have this professional thing that was actually a computer just for editing.
Yeah.
Of course, now that's they're using Premiere Pro, I believe, now and stuff. And I go help them with edit and putting shots, and you know, I feel real comfortable with that. They're more, they know that specific program as far as, but I know how it should look, how the timing should be done, what we need to make sure. And so when I'm out there, sometimes the kids don't always think to write shots down. Or I'm like, well, how do we know this? This is in your head, but you don't have a shot or dialogue that supports this. And so it just helps fill in stories, having that background. As far as styles teaching, or film, no, that hasn't changed as much as getting into learning more about trends and what stories are effective and all of that. Because when it comes down to it, whether you're on stage or you're in film, or even when you're designing something, it's all about what story are you telling? What choices are you making, and how's that coming across? Yeah. Kind of all the same thing in a sense.
Do you write?
No, I do write some, but I don't write as like my mother writes.
Yeah.
I have friends who write. I like to read a lot. So,
but you like the story element. It's just not necessarily.
Oh, yeah. And every now and then I still go do community theater. It's not that I don't, but you know, we have the local theater in Shiner and here in Gonzales. And every now and then when a good director comes around or something, I'm like, okay, I'll go play.
Yeah. So you are close to Shiner, right?
Yes, we're about 15 miles from Shiner.
Okay. There was no follow-up question to that. just getting the geography. I know you were east of San Antonio, but I didn't know how close you were to other notable places.
Well, we're kind of like in the triangle. There's San Antonio to the west of us, and then Austin's to the north of us, and Victoria's to the south of us. So we're like in the middle of that triangle, a little under an hour. From each of those.
So do you ever get to make it back to Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because you mentioned San Marcos, having a kid come in and do your show that's from San Marcos. So I'm assuming it's, 30, 45 minutes or so. But
it's 45 minutes from San Marcos.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so that's kind of a cool little thing that you have kids come from other places. I've never understood why that's not more of a allowance for some of the schools, you know, maybe not for these large districts that have 11, 12 high schools, but I know there's some schools that are kind of singletons. They're just out there in no man's land that should allow that.
I don't know. It stemmed for, you know, we don't have those big numbers of kids. And then there's not... Hopefully we're getting back more of our music program in the lower levels. Right now it's just really band and then like first grade and kindergarten age.
Yeah.
So I like to open it up that, and not all the kids can now right now get in theater in junior high. So I want to open up for that. We always do stuff and make sure our kids are taken care of, but I choose shows that I know is like, you know what, we can probably fill in and offer this. And and something about the fall show I always do is I try to, if anybody's interested, I find them something to do with that show because I want them to have that experience. And maybe they'll catch that bug, you know, whether if they're not in the class in theater one and we're not going over to the elementary and performing fairy tales that they've adapted and built themselves, and they get that because the little kids laugh at everything and it's great. And they catch that bug, then maybe this other opportunity. And like I said, with our clinic, you know, when we're in the area we're in, we do see a lot of our neighbors come in, and we love having them. And so why not do a show with them?
Right. Yeah, that's cool. What is Gonzales known for? You mentioned the festival, but is that what it's known for, or are there some other things?
Well, come and take it is our phrase. We should have patented it a long time ago because we were talking about the canon that they, Santa Ana and them were, I don't know if Santa Ana, I'm probably going to butcher myself.
The Alamo folk.
Yes. Well, we were the ones that sent the 32. We were the only ones in the state of Texas when they sent out the call from the Alamo, please send help. Gonzales was the only one that sent. And so we sent the immortal 32 to the Alamo. And yes, they all sadly perished. But the come and take it phrase comes in when they were trying to come and take our cannon. And we were like, yeah, no, you're not getting it. come and take it. And there was the battle over that. So that's our claim to fame. And that's where why you see Come and Take It and you see a cannon. And it all came from Gonzales,
right,
which is a big historical town. And so we had this big festival for it and a parade that I never, when I first got there, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a small town. It's over 2 hours long. And yeah, and just hundreds of floats, and they do great. I mean, it was amazing. And,
yeah,
you know, big fair and vendors and competitions and car shows, and it's a lot of fun.
You made plans like 30 minutes later, and 2 hours later, you were still there.
Yeah, the furry, now it's probably, I'm probably exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But still, I was staying on the corner thinking, okay, this small town's going to go, I mean, from Austin, thinking Austin, oh no, we're going to do big things in Gonzales. And it just went on, and it's great fun, and the kids and the community comes together and really supports each other and just have a blast. And, you know, last year they didn't get to do it, so it's kind of nice that they get to be a part of that. And we have a local group that does theater that reenacts a lot of the historical events that happened back then. We have a pioneer village that we've done shows and filmed out there too for things that they basically took historical buildings down from locations and put it together like a living museum. And my husband helped with that. He helps with a lot of heavy construction on my stuff, but so it's great.
That's cool. I'm actually looking at your website right now and I notice you do junior high OAP as well. So your plate is pretty full, huh?
Yes, all the time, all year.
Okay.
All year. We're, you know, like right now, I'm getting Grease up. We open in a month.
Yeah.
And next week, junior high one act play starts. Of course, I've already started on one act play.
Right.
Cutting, designing, all of that, sending it off for permission. And then, you know, theatrical design starts in the class in 2 weeks. Film, UIL Films already started. It's very busy. And the kids are very busy, but they're awesome.
That's really cool. I mean, it's good that you keep them busy through just kind of, you keep them busy with things that have gratification, some sort of, you know, some sort of, especially, you know, maybe not the musical, but with the one act play and UIL and design and all that stuff, you know, they get feedback, they get other people's comments and learn to appreciate that stuff. That's good.
And so, we go to a lot of clinics and get that feedback as well.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's good for you. So I want to get you out on this. You've been in Gonzales for a while now. And you probably, whether you know what that is or not, you probably have a legacy that has been built in that department, in that school, in that community. When you're done in Gonzales, whether that be 15, 20, 100 years from now, what do you want your legacy to be?
I hope it's in the kids, that they look back fondly and have some good memories of the bus rides, of the lock-ins, of the jokes we'd make in class. Like, I always like to have this, like, imaginary conversation they have at home. So what'd you do in class today? Oh, I stuck my tongue out the teacher, or Miss Beesing said I murdered them well, or, you know, just these odd conversations that they take these memories with them and carry these memories. And then maybe, hopefully, they go see live theater. They participate maybe in live theater, but at least appreciate the collaborative art that theater is. And they had fond memories making it, seeing it, learning about it. That's the kind of legacy I hope is in the kids, is what they take from that experience.
Minor Wisdom.